Steve Austin on ABC Radio Brisbane.
To talk retail, it's Happy New Year and welcome back to Christine Moody, founder of Brand Audits. Christine, hello.
Hi, Steve.
Welcome back to... Well, I was going to say, I had a very cool way, I'll leave it another time. Dominic Lamb, CEO, you are the most stylish woman I think I interview in this studio. Is there a reason for that? Do you get cheap dresses?
I absolutely don't get cheap dresses, but I really do love fashion. So I spend a lot of time looking at them. But thank you for the compliment.
My pleasure. Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Gary Mortimer, the most stylish man also in the studio. Gary Mortimer from QUT's Business School. Gary, welcome back.
Great to be back. I was about to say good morning as well.
Me too.
I owe my producer a beer from yesterday and two beers from today already because I've said it too many times. Let me ask you that the news today is that the parent company, the South African parent company of David Jones, has written off one-third of the value or the face value of this department store, David Jones. What does it mean, Gary?
Yeah, it's a tough time for department stores, isn't it? And I think some of your listeners would probably reflect back to, you know, department store trading back in the 60s, 70s, even the 80s. That's where you went for school shoes. That's where you went for stationery. That's where you went for white goods and electrical goods and furniture and bedding, and the list goes on. And that's shifted a lot. And we now are, you know, shopping with the specialty retailers, but the big box retailers, with the category killers, and we really don't buy a lot of stuff other than probably cosmetics and probably hosiery and maybe a little bit of fashion. But even fashion is, you know, down the major malls today. We've got global fast fashion retailers here. So the way we shop has changed, and probably the big department stores just haven't moved along with the changes.
Given there's so many specialty stores, It's amazing they can even keep playing at all, isn't it?
It's tough. And a lot of what we're seeing in department stores are concessions. So all those cosmetics departments are actually owned by the cosmetics houses. They're actually not owned by the department stores. They don't own the stock. A lot of the fashion that we see in there was owned by the fashion house as well, not owned by the department stores. So it is challenging. And so, yeah, David Jones, slightly down, a third of the cost of the price.
A third of their face brand value.
Yeah.
Crikey.
And then on top of that, we've got Myer. Myer is still going through their right-sizing process. So one in three stores flagged there.
Their right-sizing process. There's a euphemism.
Yeah, right-sizing, the buzzword that we'll be using this year in retail. I was looking at the Macquarie numbers that there's over 1,000 stores have closed in Australia over the last 2 years.
Yes. And I think too, what is a retail store, a department store, what's its relevance now? Because the idea was like when Chermside opened, you would drive and everything was under one roof. Well, people like now that shopping is an experience and it's entertainment. We like to go from shop to shop and we like to have the different brands. So
we had a discussion with my producers this afternoon. It turns out one of those secret women's business tricks is that certain women like to go to department stores because they know the service is so bad they'll be left alone.
Isn't that interesting? Because that was their position.
It's a relaxation moment. It's a therapy moment. They go and sit in the expensive furniture, relax, unwind, because they know no one will come up and annoy them.
That's funny. And don't wear black if you're in David or Maya.
Dom, do you do that?
Look, I don't. I think that the reason we're moving away probably from department stores is because of that whole concept of personalisation and being an individual. We're all after that, you know, one-off item that we can get potentially in a precinct now, whereas before you would go to the department store to make sure you could get those high-end items. But now we're seeing that, you know, we've got those high-end items having whole stores, which we've never really seen in Australia before.
16 minutes to 5, news at 5. I'm Steve Austin. My guests are retail specialists. They're Dominic Lamb. Dominic is the CEO of the National Retailers Association. Gary Mortimer is an associate professor at QUT's Business School, and Christine Moody is founder of Brand Audits. On to some happier news. Dom, tell me about JB Hi-Fi. They're going gangbusters and they've joined a big list of what?
They have. So JB Hi-Fi is now among the 250 largest retailers by revenue globally. And that's quite huge because really at the moment they're sitting at 218th spot, but we've also got Coles and Bunnings in there around the 21st position and Woolworths at 23rd. And this is a really big deal because ultimately, I mean, we know we've seen Amazon and they've certainly been targeting those electronic categories, but these guys have grown quite remarkably in Australia and have quite a good following.
They have a great following, and I think right from the beginning, I know they've been sold.
Why do they have a great following? What are they doing? I'm told you go in there and they've got geeks and boffins who know their stuff.
That's exactly it. And it also looks like they've done some clever things from a branding perspective. They've got handwritten like tags. They've got bright yellow and black, which looks cheap and economical, etc. And the guys do know their stuff. The staff there do know the technology stuff because you don't always know what you want, but they're there to help you. But they knew that right from the beginning. So they really positioned themselves right from the beginning as the cheapest prices with the best service.
In my mind, JB Hi-Fi is the place where goths go when they need a job. Like, have you seen it behind the counter? Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
There's a higher than normal proportion of goths behind the counter of that particular store than any other place I've ever been to.
They're obviously very good at what they do when it comes to, I guess, understanding IT. And I happened to be into one of those stores recently and looking at television sets. And again, this really separates, I guess, online from in-store. Like, when I'm buying a television set, I actually want to see the television set. And being able to go through the range of television sets and look at all the different sort of, you know, mods and elements of it, what it is, was great. And as soon as I walk in, I'm always approached. And that's the one thing that I find is quite different, is that level of service. And and there's others getting into that space, but I think they just do it quite well.
Mind you, when I'm going in there, I'm not normally going in for me. I've got a list of, I've got the exact model, whatever, for one of my boys I'm normally buying for somebody else, but always really helpful. I think that's what the big standout for that store is.
So for JB Hi-Fi, has that Amazon competition really come yet, Dominique Lamb, or not yet?
No, not yet. I don't think that they've seen probably the full brunt of it yet, because we know Amazon's certainly collecting data and working out what they're going to do, and they have, you know, a kind of a list, and they're checking it twice as to where they're going to head. But this is definitely one of their major categories that they will target. I think the best thing about JB Hi-Fi is, A, that it does have a following, and it also has great selection under the one roof. And I think by them picking up the good guys as well, they've diversified what they're offering, and it's going to be very difficult, you know, for tactile shoppers to touch and feel things on Amazon, whereas in JB, you know, you get that service, it is personalised, and they can answer all your questions more than what you can probably get online, and that's what we're looking for.
I saw a bit of video recently of Jeff Bezos, the Amazon boss, explaining his philosophy, and it was in a business context, and he said most businesses look to the next business quarter, but Amazon, they're looking 5 years down the track. He says he thinks the next quarter is ridiculous. He says 5 years down the track is what we're planning for. And you heard the murmur amongst the business heavyweights there. It was almost like a light bulb moment. They don't worry about the next quarter. They worry about 5 years down from now. Mm. And I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and look, and I guess we're definitely seeing retailers move into that space now. There's a huge focus on technology, and we're seeing more and more trade missions to kind of work out, you know, what is the next thing in retail. And I was listening to someone talk about trends that we can expect, and soon it's predicted that we're going to have wardrobes that will know your weight, they'll know the weather outside, it'll know how much you've been eating, it'll know what clothes you've got, and then it will actually suggest an outfit to you, so you don't have to think about it anymore.
Don't you call them your husband?
I think husbands avoid how much I weigh, really.
Yes, good point.
But even better than that, you can actually, now there's an app where you can actually get things sewn in your size. So you can get T-shirts on order, so to speak. It's made for you on the spot. And like you can with suits, there's a store.
Well, these wardrobes would order you a new T-shirt if you broke it. So if there was a hole in it, you could say, I need a new black T-shirt from wherever, and it would come along.
No, grounds for divorce. You get rid of your husband's black T-shirt with a hole in it, he gets very upset. Uh-oh. It's his favourite T-shirt.
I've done that a few times.
Well, there you go. So you've made that mistake. You've already made the marital mistake once. Let me just interrupt. Some breaking news is that Labor Senator Sam Dastyari has officially resigned. The New South Wales senator quit Parliament late last year over his links to China, and has apparently today sent a letter of resignation to the Senate President. Former New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally is considered the favourite to replace him in the Senate, but the news is, you'll hear more in about 10 minutes from now, but Labor Senator Sam Dastyari has officially resigned his Senate position. Jacob of Greenslope says, it's the worst when shop assistants try and help you. You're not alone in that thought, Jacob. And Jacob says, by the way, it sounds like your producers will be drowning in beer by the end of the show. Yes, I've said good morning a couple of times. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. My guests are Christine Moody, Dominic Lamb and Gary Mortimer. Dom, what else is there in the terms of retail technology and marketing trends this year? Dominic Lamb.
Look, we're definitely looking at seeing a lot more virtual reality come in everywhere. So we know that you know, a lot more empathy is created, especially with any of those charities that you might see along the street, you know, where they can put you in a virtual reality situation and you can see what you're giving to. But we're also seeing a lot more of retailers kind of convert that online and in-store experience into one with virtual reality. So now, you know, you should be able to online actually kind of touch and feel or have some type of experience with a product that you're looking at buying. We're also going to see a lot more kind of communication between online reviews written by consumers in-store, where you can actually go up, you know, snap a photo or something and then pull up all the reviews on that particular item, which is going to be very exciting.
There's a lot of bloggers or influencers out there, aren't they? But some of them are not as independent as they've made out, aren't they? They're like, they've been taking the dollar or the outfit without actually letting their readers know that they're, you know, that insert brand name here has actually been sending them free product or something.
Absolutely. But I mean, I guess aside from that now, because you can openly review so many things, you know, from your smartphone, we're seeing more and more retailers really have to combat the fact that if they don't provide great service or if a product does break, that they, you know, people are actually looking at other consumers that are purchasing as opposed to even those influencers. So it's really about, you know, providing your own review almost, or checking the reviews before you make a decision. You know, not even just about getting good customer service, but making sure that you get the right product.
Gary Mortimer, tell me about Amazon and Amazon Go. What's happening?
So this is probably along the lines of, we're talking now about retail technology and shifts in retail technology. So on Monday, after many years of testing, Amazon finally opened their convenience store called Amazon Go. So this is a store, it's about 1,800 square metres, so about an Aldi size store. You walk in, you grab what you want, and you simply walk out. So there's no checkouts, there's no gates, you don't need to scan your own groceries.
Isn't that normally called theft if you just simply walk in and walk out with something?
And normally it is, but on this occasion it is automatically, the purchases you've got or the selection of products you've got will automatically be charged to your Amazon account.
So, I love this.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Did you say you like it, Christine?
I love it.
Why?
Yeah. Because it makes it seamless. It means if you've got staff on the floor, they can actually assist you. I think also that it's
so you don't
seamless.
Like going through the gauntlet of the cash
yeah,
register.
Yeah, I don't like all that, I must okay. say.
And have the security person say, may I look in your bag, please, madam?
Yeah, and I think the first time you do it, you'll feel a bit odd because you put it in your own bag. And it actually records if you put it back on the shelf as well. There was a bit of talk about that.
Okay.
But you can see now why Amazon was interested in Whole Foods. This is where they're testing it up at Seattle.
I suspect Gary. So this is the first store they've opened in Seattle. They had a crack at it last year. The wheels fell off a little bit, so they've played around with it. And they appear to have the technology right. What technology they're using? Well, Amazon are notoriously secretive about everything. They've indicated last year that it was algorithms, which is just a mathematical equation. It really didn't answer any questions. And now they've suggested it's cameras, multiple cameras throughout the store that will identify you. There's some talk about facial
recognition. Not RFID chips or whatever they are. There's little grain of rice type chips.
Well, and that's what I suspect. It'll be more along near-frequency communication, so that that's technology right. that operates off of your Bluetooth phone and also...
That's right, it's already in your mobile phone now,
yes.
isn't it?
Yeah. So that will track you where you're going and what you've got hold of and RFID tags. I think it's quite simplified technology, but naturally they're not going to want to expose that, because then obviously other convenience stores will be jumping on this pretty quickly and replicating the offer. So right now it's quite a this will work in convenience, and you know, your listeners would know Saturday afternoon at a small, you know, retail store lining up for the checkouts, or if you're rushing around in the city and you want to grab some lunch, you know, a coffee and sandwiches, you have to line up to get through the checkout. You have to scan your own groceries. Be able to walk in and grab and go is certainly a benefit. My thought, though, is it's more about customer acquisition, and we talked about sort of how Amazon are very smart in this area. So not you and I and anyone else can walk into one of these stores and grab some coffee and sandwiches. You do need to have an Amazon account.
And it's not in yet, and just should tell the listeners you can't walk out. It's not in yet. Yeah, so it's not in store yet.
Don't walk out of your local 7-Eleven with lunch and be out paying for it. So you would imagine that you would sort of sign up your account, go and buy your lunch and grab your coffee, and then you might want to sign up for Marketplace or Prime or Fresh.
It also tell you, I reckon, when you're in store, by the way, other people have bought with that sandwich or whatever, someone else has bought this. Are you interested? I'm sure there's
sort of
all
push
that.
Marketing or something, is it?
Yeah, it'll all be linked.
We're talking retail. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. My guests are all retail specialists. I'm Steve Austin. I have no retail specialty knowledge whatsoever. But I did note that a number of brands disappeared late last year. Oraton, Marks, David Lawrence, Herringbone, Rhodes and Beckett, Payless Shoes, Pumpkin Patch, Baby Bunting, I think. Did I miss? Yes. Did I hear something about that one? Where did they've all gone, closed, shut up
Maggie
shop.
Maggie T was this year.
Maggie T, so who's next?
Well, this is the thing. There's actually one announced today, another shoe company.
Really?
Yeah, another shoe company that's collapsed. I think they had revenues of $10 million, but their creditors are owed $4.8 million, and 37 staff have lost their jobs. But I think, again, if you think of some of the brands we just spoke about then, they've lost their way a little bit. Maggie T used to have a unique market in plus-size, stylish women's wear. Like Maggie T was known, Maggie Tabra was known as very stylish. So these stores opened in 1981, and they really they had that market for so long. But the some of the overseas brands have come and put the plus size within their ranges as well, so you don't need to go to a specialty store. So I think they lost their way, and it was expensive. And I think they basically, people shop elsewhere now. They just didn't keep up with the trends.
I think that and the fact that there wasn't necessarily catering for age groups as well within that. And, you know, there were a number of consumers that, you know, couldn't get age-appropriate wear in Maggie T that have gone elsewhere. And we've seen a number of other brands emerge in that particular space. So,
how was the retail over Christmas? You were expecting a healthy Christmas. Did it meet expectations, Dominic?
It did meet expectations, actually, and especially those Boxing Day sales as well. Okay. And I think there was a lot of conjecture around whether or not we needed to have Boxing Day, whether Boxing Day was a big thing anymore. But I can honestly say, given that I was there waiting for the doors to open, doing media that day, there were lines and people absolutely everywhere. And in fact, in Victoria, we had a couple of women camp out the night before to get into the department stores at 6 a.m. So it's definitely still the biggest period for retailers, and it's a very important time of year for retailers.
They were discounting so much before Christmas. What was the point? Could they discount much more after Boxing Day?
Well, they reckon this weekend too.
Well, that's right. We certainly have seen it in some areas, but not all retailers. So what we found with Christmas was that there was those, you know, sales that would kind of lure you in to create that foot traffic. And we also had a late Christmas this year in Queensland in particular because of the election. So when we've got an election, people don't like to spend. So to generate that kind of interest, we saw lots of things happening to get them in.
Now, there was a turnaround success. Daryl Lee, Christine Moody,
yes.
Daryl Lee the chocolatier. They were in trouble and they managed to turn themselves around.
They did.
Tell me briefly the story. What did they do?
Very briefly, the people who own Pet Foods bought the brand. They bought it for $25 million. They sold it for $400 million to a private equity firm that bought the other pet food company. So it all comes around. But basically, they went back to basics. They said, what are the products that people love? And it was licorice and Rocky Road. Which, as I was typing that in the other day, I went, oh, I love licorice. But they took the iconic brand, they streamlined everything, they looked at who was distributing it. So they had people who were trained in selling the products. They took them out of a lot of stores, they put them into new stores, and they also went over to New Zealand. The private equity firm that's bought them is now going to go international. So going all over the globe.
I've got to tell you, when I hear private equity firm buying out a chain of stores, I get nervous.
Well,
they don't have a good track record in my mind.
Well, the current owner's still got an interest in it. So I think that's important.
A controlling interest?
No, it's a small interest. But so it'll be interesting to see how they go.
And this is the risk that if you take an iconic Aussie brand as a private equity firm will do and potentially produce it overseas, you lose that sort of country of origin effect.
Goodbye, Dick Smith.
Yeah, exactly right. But yes, they changed the distribution model. They closed their stores. Nobody goes to a store for confectionery anymore.
With those big bozos women used to wear.
So, successful story for an Aussie retail. Let's hope it stays being produced here in Australia.
Yes, I hope so.
I mentioned before that JB Hi-Fi, I thought, employed goths, and that's why they seem to know what they're on about, because goths know music and technology. And my producer has dared me to put out a call for talkback. If you're a goth who's got a job at JB Hi-Fi, call now. Jill sent me a note saying, I've always enjoyed their model and service until last week when I went into a store on the coast to purchase a new phone. I'm 53 years old, female, and felt ignored by the young, hip staff. Suddenly felt irrelevant, even when I was there to spend $800. Jill, your mistake was you didn't wear black and Doc Martin boots. You've got to go into JB Hi-Fi wearing black and Doc Martin boots and they'll look after you. 1300-222-612 was the phone number. If you're a goth and you got a job in the tech or music business in one of those major retail chains, I'd like to know if they employed you because you knew your music. That's what I suspect. Because JB Hi-Fi are one of the biggest music retailers now, aren't they?
They are.
I'm just wondering how many goths would be listening to this.
You'd be surprised.
I think it's the other goths.
They're just having breakfast.
Triple J. Hello to our friends on Triple Z. Triple Z. On Triple J. We don't see. We're quite friendly with Triple Z. Triple J is our enemy. You know, the in-house, you know, enemy on, you know, the FM band. If you're an employer, do you look for goths to employ? I want to know. We want to try and push this. If you're an employer, have you employed a goth? Give me a call. 1300-222-612 is the phone number, and I'll report back to the listener later on. But call now if you have. Dominic Lamb, Gary Mortimer and Christine Moody, thank you very much.
It's been great.
Thanks, thank you.
You're with Steve Austin on ABC Radio Brisbane.